From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program. Presenting news, information, and entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen our broadcast and online streaming voanews.id.
Listeners, welcome back to me, Ahmad Faisal, in English program. Hopefully, you are so fine and still have spirit to listen our program today. And for these 60 minutes ahead, we would like to accompany you with various segments that can not only entertain you, but also educate as well as inform you our several beneficial information and entertainment such as news, commentary, and also other self-information, as well as Indonesian pop songs. Well, listeners, we begin our program with news. So stay tuned with us on Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world, at frequency shortwave 3325 kHz and website www.voinews.id.
Here is the news force headlines. Indonesian Ministry of Trade plans Good Design Indonesia 2020. Indonesia and South Korea work together to develop creative industries. Those are the headlines. Now the news in detail. I'm Donald Pani. The Ministry of Trade, through the Directorate General of National Export Development, PEN, will hold the fourth Good Design Indonesia, an award for best design product in 2020. The competition becomes the real support of the Ministry of Trade in motivating and encouraging business to develop design-oriented Indonesian products in the global market. Director General of National Export Development, Dodi Edward, said in a statement in Jakarta on Tuesday that through Good Design Indonesia, Indonesia can introduce domestic products that have added value through the development of designs, while at the same time encouraging the performance of Indonesia's non-oil export to the world market. To participate in the competition, products must be manufactured and marketed in Indonesia and designed by Indonesian designers. According to Dodi, the Good Design Indonesia 2020 will focus on the value of sustainable lifestyles that look at products from the perspective of users, industry, social, and the masses. The winners will receive several benefits, including product publicity, appearing in national and international product exhibitions, recognition for wearing the Good Design Indonesia logo, as well as the opportunity to take part in the G Market event. Indonesia and South Korea have the opportunity to establish cooperation as part of efforts to develop the creative industries which can spur economic growth between the two countries. Minister of Industry Agus Gumiwang Kartasasmita said in his statement in Jakarta on Thursday that the Ministry of Industry is committed to increasing the number of entrepreneurs, especially in the creative industry sector. This effort offers the opportunity for a demographic bonus momentum and has a dual effect on positive contributions to the national economy. The minister said President Joko Widodo considered that the future economy comprises the creative and digital industry. This was stated by the head of state while attending the ASEAN Republic of Korea CEO Summit at the Busan Exhibition and Convention Center some time ago. The minister also said the competent and quality human resources are needed to foster a competitive creative industry. For this reason, President Joko Widodo stressed the importance of revitalizing education through a link and match program with the industrial world. Defense Minister Prabowo Subianto and National Military Force Commander Air Marshal Hadi Cahyanto visited an exhibition of defense products and systems developed by Indonesia's private defense industry at the Ministry of Defense grounds, Jakarta, on Tuesday. The exhibition was attended by 21 national private defense industry companies that are members of the National Private Defense Industry Association, which has contributed to the government's efforts in the path to making the national defense industry self-reliant. Various products and systems of the national private defense industry on display comprise submarines, army clothing, drones, missiles and tanks, as well as combat vehicles that are all manufactured in the domestic defense industry. The exhibition showcasing various products and defense systems created by the nation's human resources targeted to build confidence among national private-owned business entities and are able to provide defense products and systems. Minister Prabowo Subianto expressed pride over the abilities of the nation's human resources in manufacturing products and national defense systems. Deputy for Macroeconomy and Finance Coordination of the Coordinating Ministry of Economic Affairs, Iskandar Simorangkir, has pinned high hopes of deeper economic ties, including in trade and investment, with the United States. Simorangkir made the statement in Jakarta on Tuesday after receiving the delegation of the United States Association of Southeast Asian Nations Business Council, led by Senior Vice President and Regional Managing Director of U.S. ABC Ambassador Michael W. Michalak on Tuesday. The meeting was held to exchange views on ways to enhance more positive business-to-government relations, prepare the scope of more competitive regulations, and create a business ecosystem of high quality in Indonesia. However, the figure did not concurrently mirror the vast potential for economic cooperation between both nations, including in the field of technology. This news comes to you over the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Indonesian Vice President Ma'ruf Amin emphasized that the government will make sustained efforts to boost access to the work field for people with disabilities to ensure better welfare within the scope of their limitations. Vice President Amin remarked while attending the commemoration of International Disability Day 2019 in Jakarta on Tuesday, said the government will continue to strive to improve access to basic services such as education, health and employment opportunities for people with disabilities as an effort to ensure the fulfillment of basic rights and to increase the dignity and independence of persons with disabilities. With an employment status and income, disabled people are expected to be able to lead an independent existence with an increased level of welfare. Vice President Amin also praised private sector players that have offered work opportunities for disabled people. Specific treatment given by these employers includes stress management at the workplace and the application of production targets in line with their abilities. The Pasena Shrimp Pond in Lampung Province was once the largest shrimp pond in Southeast Asia in the 1990s. The shrimp pond was built by business scheme of Tambak Inti Rakyat. In its golden era, the Pasena Pond was able to produce 200 tons of shrimp per year and contributed to Indonesia's foreign exchange of $3 million. However, during the economic crisis, the productivity of the Pasena Shrimp Pond was paralyzed. With the condition, the Lampung Regional Shrimp Entrepreneurs Association developed its business since 2013 independently through a joint investment program raising public funds. Responding to this matter, researcher of Indonesian Institute of Sciences, Dedi Aduri, at LIPI, Jakarta on Tuesday, expressed his hope that the Indonesian government immediately conducting revitalization, including environmental rehabilitation and pond infrastructure, improvement of cultivation, raising funds, jetting electricity, and clean water supply. The government took a special approach in revitalizing the Pasena's pond, including bureaucratic breakthroughs and placing farmers as the main stakeholders of this revitalization. Why? Because with this revitalization, people see that coastal communities tend to be powerless. Meanwhile, Head of Economic Research Center of Indonesian Institute of Sciences, Agus Eko Nugroho, explained, if revitalization of Di Pasena Shrimp Pond in Lampung Province can be conducted, the pond potentially to increase cultivation products by optimistic calculation of products reaching 4.5 trillion rupiahs or pessimistic calculation amounting to 2.26 trillion rupiahs per year. Indonesian Finance Minister Sri Mulyani Indrawati said that reformation in the field of spending must be conducted immediately to avert the existence of efficiency of budget, which finally has a chance to cause corruption. Minister Sri Mulyani also said that the corruption is also came from improper, inefficient, and ineffective state's budget allocation, so that it is needed to conduct shopping reformation. Minister Sri Mulyani Indrawati in Jakarta on Tuesday asked to Directorate General of Budget, Directorate General of Treasury, and National Development Planning Agency to coordinate in improving quality of government spending so that miscommunication is not occurred in allocating the budget. The minister further said that reformation of the spending has some goals, among other, to create allocation of the budget which rightly target and in line with national development priority. Well, listener, that's the news.
Today's commentary is on 70 years NATO. Today is the last day of the North Atlantic Treaty Organization, or NATO, meeting. As revealed, the theme at the official NATO event this time was NATO engages innovating the alliance. The future of military cooperation in the Western world will be the main agenda at the meeting. On its 70th birthday, the future of NATO is a big question, even for its member states. When referring to its history, the North Atlantic Treaty Organization, NATO, developed after the Cold War, mainly because of fears of Soviet expansion and aggression after the Communist Party coup in Czechoslovakia, the Soviet Union's blockade of Berlin, and other incidents. NATO was also formed to prevent the rise of nationalist militarism and encourage political integration in Europe. America, Canada, Belgium, Denmark, France, Iceland, Italy, Luxembourg, the Netherlands, Norway, Portugal, and the United Kingdom signed the initial agreement on April 4, 1949. Since then, the Transatlantic Security Treaty has more than doubled in terms of membership and then gradually significantly changed its mandate. Initially, NATO was intended as a political alliance. This changed quickly after the Soviet Union detonated the atomic bomb in 1949 and the outbreak of the Korean War in 1950. This event prompted NATO members to form a centralized headquarters to procure joint military resources and commit to safeguarding freedom, common heritage, and civilization of the nation based on the principles of democracy, individual freedom, and rule of law. Now, NATO has grown from 12 to 29 countries. A number of other countries are still in the negotiation stage to become members of this alliance. The first member expansion was in 1952 by accepting Greece, Turkey, and West Germany as members. Responding to the expansion of NATO and the decision of West Germany, the Soviet Union and countries in Eastern Europe in 1955 formed the Warsaw Pact, consisting of 8 countries. East Germany, which was also a member of the pact, had its own defense agreement. The Warsaw Pact was dissolved in 1991 after German reunification and the fall of the Berlin Wall. But NATO is still growing. Now, all non-Soviet Union members who were once members of the Warsaw Pact have become NATO members. NATO and the Warsaw Pact never experienced direct clashes during the Cold War, but the alliance was preoccupied with military involvement after the collapse of the Soviet Union. Around 20,000 military personnel are now involved in various NATO missions around the world, including operations in Afghanistan, Kosovo, and the Mediterranean region. With the loss of the Soviet Union, no country was able to deal directly with the United States. At this point, NATO should have been dissolved, but it did not happen. First of all, a new enemy has emerged, terrorism, which attacked the various capitals of NATO members, forcing NATO member states to support each other. But then another idea emerged from Germany. A military security system that included Russia had to be formed to replace the North Atlantic Treaty Organization, NATO. A question for NATO at the age of 70, where are you going now? Well, that was commentary over Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. This is RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with Today in History, a regular segment which brings back people and events from this date in the past as recorded in history. I'll begin with December 4, 1945, the birth of the Indonesian Army Artillery Corps. The history of the Indonesian struggle after the proclamation of independence on August 17, 1945, was marked by the birth of the People's Security Body, or the PKR, the People's Security Army, TKR, and People's Safety Army, TKR, the Army of the Republic of Indonesia, TRI, and then the TNI, or the Indonesian Military Today, National Military. On December 4, 1945, Lieutenant General Urip Sumoharjo inaugurated the establishment of the artillery headquarters in charge of fostering Indonesian artillery units, with the first commander being Lieutenant Colonel Pratikno Suryo Sumarno. The artillery headquarters is part of the Army Headquarters Weaponry Service, which is based in Yogyakarta. The inauguration coincided with the date of the birth of the international artillery on December 4, 1945. On December the 4th, it became the anniversary of the Indonesian Army Artillery Corps, which later, along with further developments, was designated as the anniversary of the Armed Forces of the Armed Forces Corps. Turning to December 4, 1974, the Martin Air aircraft carrying 182 Indonesian Hajj pilgrims crashed, killing 182 passengers and 9 crew members. Flight 138 of the Martin Air aircraft is a Dutch DC-8 aircraft chartered by Garuda Indonesia to transport prospective Indonesian pilgrims from Surabaya to Jeddah, Saudi Arabia. The disaster occurred when the aircraft hit the hills of the Seven Virgin of the Adam Peak area in Maskelia, central Sri Lanka. A total of 182 passengers and 9 crew members boarded the Dutch airline died or killed. There were several versions of media reports at that time which mentioned communication misconception from airplane pilots or officers at the Bandara Naike International Airport, so that the plane crashed into the hills located about 70.8 kilometers from the airport and at an altitude of 1,841 meters above sea level. I'll conclude Today in History with December 4, 1976. The Free Aceh Movement is declared by Hasan Tiro. The Free Aceh Movement, or GAM, is an organization led by Hasan Tiro, who was considered a separatist because he had an goal to have Aceh separated from the United States of the Republic of Indonesia. The conflict between the Republic of Indonesia and GAM, caused by differences in desire, has been going on since 1976 and caused the death of nearly 15,000 people. This movement is also known as the Aceh Sumatra National Liberation Front. On February 27, 2005, GAM and the Indonesian government began the negotiation phase in Vantaa, Vinland. On July 17, 2005, after 25 days of negotiation, the Indonesian negotiating team succeeded in reaching a peace agreement with GAM in Finland. The signing of the peace agreement was held on August 15. Among the important points was that the Indonesian government would participate in the facilitating of the formation of local political parties in Aceh and granting amnesty to GAM members. The peace process is then monitored by a team called the Aceh Monitoring Mission, which consists of 5 ASEAN countries and several countries that are members of the European Union. All GAM weapons that were handed over on December the 19th. Then, on December 27th, GAM, through its military spokesman Sofian Daud, stated that their military wing had been formally dissolved. Thank you. Well, that was today in history of Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. I'm Anna Trijaya Kasih.
Listener, you are still with us on Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world at frequency shortwave 3325 kHz and website www.voinews.id. For this segment, we would like to give you information about My Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Today's My Indonesia title: Energy and Mineral Resources Ministry implements digitalization of mineral and coal sales reporting. Energy and Mineral Resources Ministry implements digitalization in mineral and coal sales reporting system by launching Sales Verification Model or MVP application. Energy and Mineral Resources Ministry's Mineral and Coal Director General Gatot Aryono, in a written statement received by Antara News Agency on Monday, said Sales Verification Model, MVP, was an app in mineral and coal sector initiated by the ministry aim to increase accuracy of mineral sales data that has been unclear so far. Bambang said data from Customs and Excise, Central Statistics Agency, and Trade Ministry are different. Therefore, the Mineral and Coal Directorate General attempted to synchronize those data. This integrated app is expected to avoid different data interpretation, which then will minimize policy manipulation perception. Bambang added, the MVP was also aimed to increase service and monitoring toward mineral and coal business people. MVP app is an integral part of previous online system services in mineral and coal sector, namely EPNBP or non-tax revenue, Minerba One Map Indonesia, or MOMI, Minerba One Data or MODI, and Minerba Online Monitoring System or MOMS. Bambang Gatot Aryono explained those apps were the pioneer for MVP system. If a company missed one column in the reporting, they won't be able to run production because they do not receive production result report. In total, through MVP app, mineral sales monitoring is done with tiered verification from the upstream to the downstream. Monitoring is done for each mineral transaction through online monitoring that includes mineral origin administration, quantity, quality, non-tax revenue, and sales destination. Meanwhile, product from MVP app is verification result report that is printed through system according to sales data filled in by surveyors for each transaction. This app will quicken sales transaction data availability as well as accelerate and ease calculation of non-tax revenue and final royalty, which will minimize insufficient payment. At the same time, Energy and Mineral Resources Ministry also launches app on monitoring of mineral exploration activities, namely Exploration Monitoring System and Exploration Data Warehouse. That was my Indonesia.
From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program.
We'll be right back.
Listener, you are still with us on Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world at frequency shortwave 3325 kHz and website www.voinews.id. Listener, after listening Indonesian song, it is the right time for us to present next segment that talk about tourism and local wisdom of Indonesian people. And here is Indonesian Wonder.
Hello listeners, welcome to Indonesian Wonder, a daily segment featuring tourism, culinary arts, fine arts, and culture from various regions across Indonesia. In today's edition, we will introduce you to a tourism object in Bali. Stay tuned. Listeners, Bali Island is one of favorite destinations of Indonesia for domestic and foreign tourists. This island is well known not only for the beauty of amazing nature, but also its culture. Although many interesting places which can be visited, there are still tourism destinations in Bali which are rare to be visited. One of them is Suluban Beach. Listeners, although being rare for tourists to visit, the name of Suluban Beach is well known among surfing lovers. The destination has big waves, thus Suluban is well known as favorite spot for surfing. The beach is also known as Blue Point Beach. The mention comes from the name of hotel which is located not far from this tourism object. It is called it in order to make easy for foreign tourists to return to the beach whose location is hidden. At Suluban Beach, there is exotic coral cliff. The wave which hit the coral cliff look like special scenery that never be found at another place. Although it is suitable for surfing, the free of charge tourism destination has exciting activities which can be conducted. The tourists can see monkeys habitat surrounding the beach or enjoy typical foods of Bali at a restaurant which is not far from the beach. From here, its panorama is seen amazing. There is a combination of white color on sand, green tosca at the seashore, and dark blue in deep sea. Listeners, as long as trip to the beach, tourists will be welcomed by local people. Most of the local people sit at the hut and spend their time to wave clothes. Although they are busy, they are very friendly with the tourists. The tourists can mingle with local people while finding information about the uniqueness of the exotic beach in the southern of Bali. Waving made by local people is sold at the souvenir shops. In addition, waving with a beautiful motif, the shop also offers various kinds of accessories, such as hat, necklace, and bracelet. Suluban Beach is located at Pecatu Village, South Kuta, Badung Regency. From Ngurah Rai International Airport, it takes around 45 minutes by motor vehicles. The road condition to this tourism object is good enough, even There is direction board which makes easy for tourists. Unfortunately, here there is no adequate public transportation. So, we suggest you to use private or rental car. Listeners, that was our segment Indonesian Wonder for today featuring Suluban Beach in Bali Province. Thank you for listening.
Sepi kamu yang selalu ku cari. Dulu ku sedih kamu yang selalu ada di sekitarku. Untuk merangkukku, kini ku senang dan kamu tak ku utamakan. Kamu tersinggung, berpikir ku menghindarmu. Kamu salah. Ku menjauh karena bukan kamu. Ingin ku sayang padamu, tapi maaf sebatas teman saja. Ku bilang rindu, tapi maaf sebatas teman saja. Ceritakan kisah kita,
kisah kita.
Aku kau sebut dengan julukan si pemberi harapan palsu. Oh oh, lucunya cara kamu menghibur semua teman dekat dan hatimu. Ku sayang padamu, tapi maaf sebatas teman saya.
Listener, for the next segment, we will present you Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia. In our program, Let's Speak Indonesian Language, we will introduce you to some Indonesian vocabularies and expressions, and we invite you to speak in Indonesian language. And this program is a cooperation program between the Voice of Indonesia and the Department of Language Development and Language Education of the Indonesian Ministry of Education and Culture. And here is Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
This is Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, a lesson in Bahasa Indonesia or the Indonesian language on the radio. which introduces some Indonesian vocabulary and guides you to use them in a conversation. The segment of Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia is a cooperation of Voice of Indonesia with the Language Development and Cultivation Agency, the Indonesian Ministry of Education and Culture. Today's topic is Kita menonton film, lalu karaoke. Or in English, we watch a film, then karaoke. Stay tuned. Next is a conversation about we watch a film, then karaoke, or kita menonton film, lalu karaoke. Tony and Enda are at the cultural center in Yogyakarta. They are taking a rest after doing many activities.
Kita telah melakukan banyak hal. Pertama, kita menonton film, lalu pertunjukan tari. Setelah itu, karaoke.
Iya, benar. Apa yang akan kita lakukan selanjutnya?
Kita akan pulang, tapi sebelum pulang, kita makan dulu.
After the conversation, now I'll introduce some vocabularies and expressions related to the topic today. I'll say each word slowly and twice. You can follow after me. Pertama, which means first. Lalu, which means then. Setelah, which means after. Sebelum, which means before. Kita telah melakukan banyak hal. Kita telah melakukan banyak hal. Which means we have done many things. Pertama, kita menonton film, lalu pertunjukan tari. Pertama, kita menonton film, lalu pertunjukan tari. Which means, firstly we watch a film, then dance show. Setelah itu karaoke. Setelah itu karaoke. Which means, after that, karaoke. Apa yang akan kita lakukan selanjutnya? Apa yang akan kita lakukan selanjutnya? Which means, what we are going to do next. Kita akan pulang, tapi sebelum pulang, kita makan dulu. Kita akan pulang, tapi sebelum pulang, kita makan dulu. Which means, we are going to go home, but before going home, we eat first. Listener in the dialogue, Enda and Tony talk about many activities they have done. When mentioning the sequence of their activities, Enda and Tony use the words pertama, lalu, setelah, and sebelum. Or, first, then, after, and before. Now let's listen to the examples of the use of the words in Indonesian language. Pertama, kita menonton film, lalu pertunjukan tari. Or, first, we watch a film, then a dance show. Kita melihat pertunjukan tari setelah menonton film. Or, we watch a dance show after watch a film. Kita akan makan sebelum pulang. Or, we are going to eat before go home. Setelah makan, kita akan pulang. Or, after we eat, we will go home. Next, when you want to ask about activity which will be done, you can say apa yang akan kita lakukan selanjutnya. Besides activity, you also can ask about event, show, or anything. Next are some examples. Tony, apa acara selanjutnya? Or, what is next event? Enda, acara selanjutnya adalah pertunjukan tari. Or in English, the next event is dance show. Tony, apa pertunjukan selanjutnya? Or, what is next show? Enda, tari topeng. Or, mass dance. Before we end today's Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia for your listening clearly, let's follow again the conversation.
Kita telah melakukan banyak hal. Pertama, kita menonton film, lalu pertunjukan tari. Setelah itu, karaoke.
Iya, benar. Apa yang akan kita lakukan selanjutnya?
Kita akan pulang, tapi sebelum pulang, kita makan dulu.
Listener, that was Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia for today's edition. Hopefully, this edition can be useful for those who want to know more about Bahasa Indonesia. See you next week with another interesting topic. Sampai jumpa!
Hari terus berganti, banyak yang telah terjadi. Dirimu kian pasti, segala akan kurangi. Oh, bila esok menjelang, bahagia bukan datang. Bintang di angkasa cita-cita dan impianku, tempatku tuju. Setiap langkah yang berarti tetap menyatu dalam hasrat dan tujuanku selalu. Waktu terus menguji,
waktu terus menguji
tekad yang kumiliki. Oh, oh. Dan kini telah terbukti. Oh, segala kan ku gapai. Rintangan ku hadapi, cobaan ku lalui. Semua telah ku dapati. Tetaplah bersinar yang berarti tetap menyatu dalam hasrat dan tujuanku selalu. Oh,
listener, you are still with us on Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world at frequency shortwave 3325 kHz and website www.voinews.id. And listeners, next segment we would like to give you information about Indonesian music. Hopefully, it can also entertain you. Here is Music Corner.
Voice of Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world. Listener, we will present a song to you from Lampung entitled Cangget Agung. The song, which was composed by Syaiful Anwar, tells about an invitation to preserve tradition of Lampung. The lyrics tells about an invitation to preserve tradition of Lampung. The lyrics tell us that Lampung tradition has existed since past time, so young generation of Lampung must keep the cultural heritages always survive all the time. Well, listener, let's listen to the song Cangget Agung by Ocha Patricia. Happy listening.
Listener, we end our togetherness in English language program broadcasting. Thank you for your kind attention, for listening our English program. And don't go anywhere and keep listening for our another program. So stay with us on Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world, at frequency shortwave 3325 kHz and website www.voinews.id. Listener, don't forget to like and comment at Facebook The Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world, Instagram voice.of.indonesia, Twitter at voindonesia, and our email address voi@voinews.id.